Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Krishna Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Read from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4 Chapter 28 Verse 64 Vada Vishman Eta Adhyatmam Parokshena Pradarshatam Yat Paroksha Kriyo Devo Bhagavan Vishwa Bhavana Bahishmane Dadatyatmam Parokshena Pradarshatam Yet Paroksha Priya Devo Bhagavan Vishwa Bhavana Bahishman, O King Prashnabhagi, Eta, this, Ajatmam, narration of self-realization, Parokshena, indirectly, Pradarshatam, instructed, Yat, because, Parokshapriya, interesting by indirect description, Deva, Supreme Lord, Bhagavan, Personality of Godhead. Vishvabhavana, cause of all causes. Translation by Jirking Pachinabari, the Supreme Personality of God and the cause of all causes is celebrated to be known indirectly. Thus, I have described the story of Paranjana to you, actually, as an instruction for self-realization. For a part, there are many similar stories in the Puranas for self-realization. As stated in the Vedas, Paroksha Priya Eva Deva. There are many stories in the Puranas that are intended to interest ordinary men and transcendental subjects. Actually, these refer to real facts. They are not to be considered stories without a transcendental purpose. Some of them refer to real historical facts. One should be interested, however, in the real purport of the story. Indirect instruction is quickly understandable for a common man. Actually, the path of bhakti yoga is the path of hearing directly about the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of God, and that those who are not interested in hearing directly about the activities of the Lord, or who cannot understand them, and very effectively hear such stories and fables as this one narrated by Narada Muni. The following is a glossary of some of the important words in this chapter. Ande Shikari, the actions resulting from sinful activities, Agastya, the mind, Amatya, the governor of the senses, the mind, Arbuda, Arbuda, various types of Shravana Kirtan of the Supreme Lord's name, quality form, and so on, Ari, impediments like disease, Bhoga, enjoyment. Here in this word refers to real enjoyment in spiritual life. Britya, servants of the body, name of the senses, Dravida, Raja, devotional service, or a person eligible to act in devotional service. Dvara, doors to the body such as the eyes and ears. Griha, home, spiritual cultivation when requires an undisturbed place or the good association of devotees. Idma, Maha, the devotee who approaches a spiritual master. Idma refers to wood that is taken to burn as fuel for a fire. A brahmachari is supposed to take this idma to ignite the fire used in performing sacrifices. By spiritual instruction, a brahmachari is trained to ignite a fire and offer oblations in the morning. He is supposed to go to the spiritual master to take lessons in transcendental subject matter. And the Vedic injunction is that when approaching the spiritual master, one must carry with him fuel to perform yagyas or sacrifices. The exact Vedic injunction is as follows. Tad vijnanartam sagurum eva vikachet samitpani srotriyam brahmanishtam. To learn transcendental subject matter, one must approach a spiritual master. In doing so, he should carry fuel to burn in sacrifice. Symptoms of such a spiritual master is he is expert in understanding the Vedic conclusions, and therefore he constantly engages in service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By serving such a bona fide spiritual master, gradually the conditioned soul becomes detached from material enjoyment and invariably makes progress in spiritual realization out of the direction of the spiritual master. Those servants led by the illusory energy are never interested in approaching a spiritual master to make life successful. Jaya, intelligence, and jira, sarpa, the fatigued air of life. Kalakanya, invalidity of old age. Kama, high fever. Kulachala, a place where there is no disturbance. Kutimbini, intelligence. Madhyarikshana. Madhyarikshana refers to one whose eyes are so attractive that one who observes them becomes maddened by her. In other words, Madhyarikshana refers to a very beautiful young girl. And according to Jiva Goswami, Madhyarikshana means the personified deity of bhakti. If one is attracted by the bhakti quality, he becomes engaged in the service of the Lord and the spiritual master, and thus his life becomes successful. Vaidarbhi, the woman, became a follower of her husband. She left her comfortable home for the service of her husband. A serious student of spiritual understanding must give up everything for the service of the spiritual master. As stated by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, yasya prasada bhagava prasada. If one wants actual success in life, he must strictly follow the instructions of the spiritual master. By following such instructions, one is sure to make rapid progress in spiritual life. This statement by Vishnu Chakravarti is in pursuance of the following injunction from the Svetas. Svetasvatara Upanishad, yasya devi para bhakti yatha devi tata goro itasya te katita yata prakashante mahamanaha. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. In the Chandogya Upanishad, the Siddha Acharya van Purusho Veda, one who approaches a bona fide spiritual master, can understand everything about spiritual realization. Malaya Dvaja, a nice devotee who is like sandalwood. Panchala, the five sense objects. Parichara, the total aggregate of the senses. Paurajana, seven elements that constitute the body. Pautra, patience in gravity. Pajara, a kind of fever called Vishnujwara. Pratikriya, counteracting agents such as mantras and medicines. Pura Palaka, life air. Putra, consciousness. Sainika, the condition of threefold misery. Saptasuta, the seven sons, namely hearing, chanting, remembering, offering prayers, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, worshipping the deity, and becoming a servant of the Lord. Sahridya, endeavor. Sutta, the son of Vaidarbhi, or in other words, one who is somewhat advanced in fruitive activities and who comes in contact with a devotee spiritual master. Such a person becomes interested in the subject matter of devotional service. Vaidarbhi, the woman who was formerly a man but took birth as a woman in his next life because of too much attachment to woman. Darva means kusagrass. In fruitive activities or karma can be a ceremony, one requires kusagrass. Thus Vaidarbhi refers to one who takes birth in the family of karmakandiya understanding. However, if by karmakanda activities one by chance comes in contact with a devotee, as Vaidarbhi did when she married Malaya Dvaja, his life becomes successful. He then pursues the devotional service of the Lord. The conditioned soul becomes liberated simply by following the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master. Vidarbha Rajasimha, the best of persons who are expert in fruitive activities. Virya, one who has mercy. Yavana, the servant of Yamaraj. That's in the Bhaktivedanta Purport, the 4th chapter, 28th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Puran, she becomes a woman in the next life. Congratulations, my dear King Prachinabhani, the Supreme Personality, God of the cause of all causes, celebrate to be known indirectly. Thus I've described the story of Puranjana to you, and actually this is an instruction for self-realization. This is Narada Muni speaking to the king about the story he has just told. And here he says that the Lord himself is Paroksha Priya. So Paroksha means indirect. And of course it can mean indirect language where you don't say a thing directly. Or in this case it can also mean an allegorical story, which is not the actual meaning. There's a hidden meaning behind it. So here Narada Muni says the Lord is fond of indirect expression of things, not direct expression. And therefore he says, I've given this story, spoken this story, using indirect method or allegorical method, not a direct story or a direct philosophy. So this is the a common method in the spiritual scriptures. Of course, sometimes we get stories themselves which will illustrate real historical facts which will illustrate certain things. So we have the description of Ambarish, for instance, who was historically a person. So that's not Paroksha Vada in the normal sense, because it is a story of Ambarish and he actually lived. But it illustrates, his life illustrates that he practiced devotional service of all types. So it illustrates the nine types of devotional service. So many historical stories will give illustrations of certain points in philosophy or bhakti. But then we have other stories which are not historical at all. They have no factual evidence behind them, no factual events behind them, such as the king story of King Paranjana. Or in the fifth canto, there are is a whole series of symbolic stories as well to illustrate the futility of material life. So these are not historical accounts at all of actual events, but are stories which have symbolic meaning. So the different characters and things, objects within the story mean something else. For instance, we have the analogy of the body is like a chariot, and the soul is like the passenger, and the intelligence and the mind, and the horses are, the horses are the senses, etc. And we have various symbolic things illustrating the body and the soul and the Supreme Lord and the senses and sense objects, etc. So, similarly, we have more elaborate stories like this, in which there are many elements, and they all have some meaning, other meaning other than the direct meaning. So that's called paroksha, where we have indirect meaning presented. It says here, paroksha priya deva, the Supreme Lord likes this type of this method of instructing knowledge. So it is, as I said, it's a common method used to use certain stories or images to illustrate something else. And why, as Prabhupada points out in the purport, people can understand these stories more easily than philosophical things. So philosophical concepts are presented through stories with objects and people with which they have some familiarity. So in this way, the concepts become easier to understand. So that we often see even in the material world. Examples of things are given or whatever to illustrate more complicated things. So this is a method of which the Lord himself uses and he authorizes, and therefore will appear in the scriptures in various places. There is of course another aspect of Parokshavad And that is that the Lord will simply make a statement, and it may have a double meaning, a hidden meaning behind it, which is the real meaning. And it has an apparent meaning, which normal meaning, and then has another esoteric meaning behind it, which is the actual meaning for the devotees, and a superficial meaning for the normal people. So that is also referred to as Paroksha Vada. So there are some examples in the Bhagavatam itself. For instance, in the last portion, 12th canto of Bhagavatam, Sukadeva concludes the story and speaks to Parikshit and says, "Now you've understood everything, I've taught you everything, so now you can merge into Brahman." So if we take it directly, then it is the confirmation of impersonalism, that Brahman is the highest and Bhagavan is lower, because it says now you can merge into Brahman after you've heard everything. But we don't take it as a real statement, a literal statement, because it is contradictory to other direct statements in the Bhagavatam. In the first canto, for instance, the whole purpose of the Bhagavatam is to relate the pastimes of Krishna. And Krishna is never called illusory. So, and of course, throughout the Bhagavatam, we'll find many statements to the contrary. So therefore, this statement that Brahman is the highest is not, cannot be taken literally. So, why would Sukadeva say this? So, it is paroksha because it does not present the true conclusion. So therefore, there's another meaning to the statement. One can analyze the words differently and come up with another meaning. And as well, one can see that there is an intention on Sukadeva's part to test Parikshit, because Parikshit replies with a contrary statement. So therefore, it's not Sukadeva is not serious about his statement at all. So this is a type of paroksha vada again, we cannot take the direct statement because it is contrary to the principles presented throughout the Bhagavatam over and over. So this is another example of paroksha in another way. So anyway, these stories, allegorical stories, are also called paroksha, indirect, in that they have another meaning behind them. So these are easy to understand. And the other stories may not be so easy to understand, the other statements, because they have a literal meaning and there's no symbolic thing behind them, no symbolic elements. So we may wonder. So therefore, we have to think very carefully and take the guidance of Acharyas to find out the real meaning of those statements.
Sukadeva Goswami told Parikshit Maharaj to merge into Brahma. So Parikshit Maharaj asked question, why should I recall previously he told us? So Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami why you are changing your statement because previously he told something. So Parikshit Maharaj asked this or not?
Well, no, he just made a contrary statement that this is how can this be true? Because you know, the whole purport was to develop attraction for Krishna, and that was the whole purport of Bhagavatam. So how can he make a statement like this? So he makes a statement like that afterwards.
In other words,
that is to test him only. That's to test him.
Can you say this purport was a purpose purport? I understand that there's a million meanings in the entire.
In some cases, but one would have to be very careful. In other words, we could take the direct meaning in most cases, and in some cases where there is contradiction to other things, then we have to take another meaning.
Different devotees understand purpose
properly different ways. That we don't really call so much parokshavad as, but it is something like it in the sense that we cannot take all statements literally sometimes because it may be contrary to something else, and therefore we have to resolve the issue. So that is also there in the Puranas and the Shruti. Karmakanda will say Karmakanda is the best and you get liberation. But then obviously we know that it's not true because of other statements in Bhagavad Gita and other Shrutis, etc. And upon it, say the contrary. So therefore we have to resolve the issue somehow or other. So one statement should be stronger than the other. And we have to see that by looking at the scriptures, which is the stronger statement. And based on that, then we take the other, give an indirect meaning to the other statement as not being absolute.
The examples one day in in preaching pattern, we can use other examples similar to that, or they use the same examples in the Bhagavad Gita.
Well, we're going to use any example that can be used. Prabhupada used many examples, which were, we can say, some of them may not be scriptural or whatever. They're using modern things, like postbox or whatever like that, or a television or whatever. You know, you can use different analogies according to the situation. Of course, in modern age, obviously, we may have to use modern examples because of modern life and people are familiar with these
objects. When you're using the Atma, to be like SIM card or cell phone,
mm-hmm.
you keep changing the cell phone, the SIM card is the same, mind is the same.
I don't know.